I invite you to find a Bible in your pew rack, or one you might have brought with you, or one on your device, and turn to the first chapter of Acts as our lectionary reading for Ascension Sunday, and I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he replied, "It's not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We can learn so much from Children's Minute, can't we? Earlier today, when we were discussing the service about 7 o'clock this morning, and Jason always has show and tell, right? He always has show and tell. And I saw the letters, and I just couldn't help but think that we are like a Stevie Wonder song. "Here we are, Lord, signed, sealed, and delivered. We're yours." I started to sing it, but thought better. But we are. We're living letters sent by God through the church to witness to something beautiful that God is doing in this world. We can learn a lot from our children. We can learn a lot from farmers, too. Some of the greatest wisdom comes from farmers. I recall the story of a city fellow who stopped on the side of the road, having seen a farmer in overalls perched up on a fence, just watching the day go by and all the cars with it. And the young fellow, he stopped to inquire if the older man was all right, being way out in the middle of nowhere. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I'm all right." The young guy said, "Well, I don't know how you do it. I don't see how you live way out here in the country. There's absolutely nothing to do. I have to be going and moving and on the go constantly." The older man kind of looked down from his perch on the fence and said, "Well, I don't see that we're all that different. I sit on the fence and watch the cars go by, and you sit in your car and you watch all the fences go by. It's just the way you look at things, I guess. It's all how you look at things. We call that perspective." The ascension of Jesus is about perspective. It's an event celebrated as a centerpiece in liturgical worship by the early church early on. It was resurrection, epiphany, ascension. Those were kind of the three earliest focal points for the early church. But for us, ascension has become like that family member you know you have to invite to the party, even though you don't want to invite that person to the party. Ascension is in the Bible, but do we have to invite ascension to the liturgical party? For St. Augustine, ascension wasn't another invitation to be sent or an afterthought to the party. Ascension is the party, because without Christ ascending, what about incarnation? What about passion? What about resurrection? This event is the coronation of a king who raises himself up to give himself perspective, to give us perspective about himself and about God and who we are and the finitude of our own lives. We need perspective. If Jesus does not ascend to reign on high, then what are we doing here? What are we doing here? That's a question of perspective. Luke loves the ascension so much that he records it twice. Once in Luke and once in Acts. It's like a chorus, a refrain of a song, and every early creed records the ascension, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Creed of Constantinople, the Nicene Creed. They all record the ascension of Christ. Our own centerpiece in worship at our Reredos is the ascension of Christ. You can't see the full scope, but I invite you up after the close of worship to come see the toes of Jesus on a cloud. He's ascending. And it shouldn't be lost on us that we turn and face an ascending Christ when we profess Trinitarian theology, when we sing the Gloria Patri, and when we are daring enough to sacrifice our resources and place them at the feet of an ascended Christ, because every single week we need a reminder. We need to be renewed. More exists to this life than we realize. We need perspective. We need perspective when we make that turn and that shift back out into the world, because the world needs witnesses. Christians today know very little about the ascension, and we don't have a lot of pomp and circumstance around it. I don't know why we've lost that perspective. The magnitude of a Christ who came to this earth through natural childbirth is so miraculous, and then left by ascending on a cloud, just vanished. But it's that same Christ who would command us to be his witnesses until he returns. I need some help keeping all of that in perspective. I do. Because the church, this modern body of the risen Christ and the rising Christ, this body called the church, it sure can be complicated sometimes. It's certainly imperfect. It's mysterious. It's tense at times. But it also laughs and rests at other times. And yet, it is to us that the responsibility of being Christ for the world has been entrusted. So we look up occasionally for some perspective. We look out for a vision where needs exist. And then we look to one another for ways to solve and to meet those needs. Listen, Christ has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God. And what that tells me is that everything is going to be okay. It also means that we can be at peace knowing that Jesus is on the throne and we don't have to be. Amen? That seat is meant for one person and it isn't for one of us. Our place, our role, is witnessing in the mission field called everyday life. Now, don't let your hearts be too troubled. The early disciples, they lost perspective on this as well. You heard it, right? They had seen Jesus. They called them out from ordinary life into an extraordinary life. They had seen his miracles and so many things that he had done. They also watched him die. They watched him be buried. And then through the 40-day period after Easter, they saw him alive. And they thought, surely, if death cannot hold down this man, this Savior, surely it's time for Rome to come down and for Israel to be raised up and for all of us to have positions of authority. This is the time, Lord, right? They lost perspective. They lost perspective about the type kingdom that interests Jesus and over which Jesus reigns, and the type kingdom that is entrusted to us. We pray every week, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Now, what we would prefer to say is, my kingdom come and my will be done, right? But we're courageous enough to say, no. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ascension changes our perspective about what matters to God. Our worldly perspective is that God's kingdom comes with a king, like the early disciples. But that king, that authority over the church is not a political strategist or candidate or military general or a sports icon or a movie star. God's kingdom will not be ruled by you and me. thankfully. Instead, it's ruled by a king who forgives and dies for those who betray him, and by a king who washes feet and takes up time with lepers and others who are sick. I love this part of the story. Sometimes we gloss over it, but they're staring up there into the sky. Jesus is ascended and floating on a cloud, and I hope you caught this. They're gazing up at heavenly things, pondering what all this means, and a couple of angels, I guess, walk up. They have on the white robes, and they just are kind of standing there. All these guys are looking up. It's like a great movie scene. They probably had a handful of pistachios or something, like, hey, what are y'all looking at? What do you mean you're staring up there? There's work to be done. Didn't you hear him? You will be my disciples. You will be my witnesses. In other words, if you don't do your job as Christians, who will? So get after it. And that's my paraphrase of what was said. Jesus gave us one job to do. You've seen those videos? You had one job. Those are so funny. He gave the disciples one job. Just one. Be a witness. Last week, I read the text from John's gospel. It says, if you love me, you ought to keep my commandments. That's what it said, right? No. Jesus didn't say you ought to keep my commandments when it's convenient, or, you know, excluding Fridays and Saturdays and vacation time. Any time other than that, you ought to keep my commandments. No, he said, if you love me, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will keep those commandments. At Ascension, Jesus doesn't say, boys, I want you to form a study group about witnessing, and we need an action plan, and it needs to last no longer than 9 months, and I want you to spend, you know, however long it takes to do that, but if you feel so inclined, you might be my witnesses, and if you get everything together, uncomplicate the church, resolve every issue, and settle all matters, and never disagree with it, then you can be my witnesses. No. As you'll hear next week, when they all gathered in one place, despite all the fear and all the doubts, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. Tongues of fire rested on them. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, this isn't up for debate. Non-negotiable. Not an option. You will be my witnesses in every possible way. Proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord means you have a story to tell. What story are you telling about Jesus Christ these days? Let's go a little deeper. What story are you telling about Christ's bride, the church, whose home happens to be at 2416 West Cloverdale Park? To what are you witnessing? About whom are you witnessing? Of what kind of king are you witnessing? It's easy to lose perspective on that job description. It is, however, the fifth part of our membership vows. Now, something that's odd to me is you're not going to find your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Thank you very much. Witness. There's five of them. There's only four in the hymnal. The hymnal was printed before we decided, I guess, that witnessing was a kind of an important thing about becoming a member of a local church. I don't know. So, as a sign of your witness, if you wanted to turn to page 38 and write the word witness in your hymnal, I wouldn't tell anybody that you were doing that. But it would be a witness that witnessing is an important part of who we are. And each time members stand up here, we ask them, will you be loyal with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? The story that you're telling about God's redeeming grace in your life and how you found it here at this church. Our Eastertide series is thinking about perspective. It's what are the signs of people who are resurrection people, people who are on the rise? We rise together. But how does the world know that we are rising? By those who witness. by those who witness. We run into challenges with our witness because we get our values out of whack. Our value systems are turned upside down. We end up valuing and worshiping and idolizing that which God does not value or worship, call us to worship or call us to idolize. Paul spent so much ink in the New Testament writing about idol worshiping, priorities. You know, if we looked at one another's, listened to one another's words and read one another's words long enough, we could start deciphering to what it is that each other witnessed. In fact, the entire social media algorithm is built or designed around our value systems. Do you know this to be true? I mean, you can sit around and be talking about, I don't know, your favorite restaurant, or you can be talking about, you know, lawnmowers or shoes or something, and within the next 30 minutes, it's going to be on your phone. How does that happen, right? That which we like, that which we post, the things on which we comment and share and the groups, it becomes a value system. It becomes part of the algorithm and the witness formula that some system is saying, this is what you value. Same is true with our spending. It determines what we value. Same is true with our time. It determines what we value. Christianity is not about anything other than someone's story who has been redeemed by grace, and that story finding another human who needs to be redeemed by grace, and attesting to God's unconditional love in this world. That's it. It's not about buildings or money or processes and procedures. It's not about any of that. Picking sides, it's not about any of that. Anything that isn't the high value of sharing how God has redeemed your story and how you're willing to help somebody else pull out of a ditch and find a way forward to Christ. That's the perspective we need at Ascension. That's the perspective that we need. Redemption is only possible because we had a Savior courageous enough to be born into this messy world, to teach us how to love big, to die for it, to rise again, to overcome all the pettiness, because the kingdom perspectives that people need is healing and hope. To look up and to see that Christ goes to prepare a place for us, but will come again. And in the meantime, we have one job, friends. One job. Are we doing it? I guess my final question is the same for Christmas and Easter and Pentecost is true for Ascension. What difference does Ascension make in our lives? What's the so what question? I hope it's a matter of perspective. I love the Lauren Daigle song. You know the song, Look Up, Child? Oh, just that reminder. Look up, child. Material kingdoms and structures, they don't matter to God. But you do. And we do. And how we bear witness to one another matters to God too. So keep your head up, Ascension people. We're not created to look downwardly at the ground, but to look up and witness that Christ will come again, that the spiritual sooner we'll be done with the trouble of the world, going home to live with God. Between now and then, we have work to do. People need to heal. People need hope. People need the church at rest. Their souls at stake. There's hungry children to feed and mental health issues to address and brokenness to repair and brothers and sisters who need to reconcile with one another. The Ascension matters today as much as it ever has because Christ will come again. But how will He find us witnessing and serving and healing and loving one another? In just a few weeks, so many of our members will head out for summer camps and travel sports and vacation schedules, and I promise I will be right there with you, renewing and recharging my batteries. I said that in the Tower Chimes. We need to use this next season to refocus and renew and recommit. I also want us to use this upcoming season to gain some perspective about eternal things in which we are called to invest versus temporal matters that will wither and die. Use summertime to witness to the goodness of God at work in your life. You might be sitting next to a stranger at the beach or across a table from friends in the mountains or touring Europe or a camp in North Alabama or California. You might be traveling to Lake Martin, Lake Jordan. I invite you to use that as an opportunity to witness to the goodness of God that's happening in this church and in your life, to say that God is not giving up on us and we will not give up on one another. The mission of Christ has been placed in our hands. Who will witness to that? The story is told of a mom who would take her son to nursery school, and she'd kiss him on the cheek like moms do, you know? And every day, all through elementary school, she would say the same thing, "Darling, I'm leaving you in good hands, okay?" Every day. So later in life, when the son was older and the mom was quite old, she began experiencing signs of dementia, and over time, the son took the mom to a care facility that had a respite program much like ours, and as he said goodbye, he kissed his mom on the cheek, and he remembered those same words. He said, "Mom, I'm leaving you in good hands, okay?" Mom, she couldn't remember her name, much less a new residence in this new program with all these new people, but every time he would say, "Mom, I'm leaving you in good hands, okay?" she'd start crying, remembering her own words. "Mom, I'm leaving you in good hands." I think in some way the ascension reminds us, church, I'm leaving you and the world in good hands. Not perfect hands, but in good hands. We have been rescued by the wounded hands of Christ, who entrusts his mission to our good hands, really good hands. Hands in which I believe now more than ever can cling tightly to one another and weather any storm. Those hands are next to you. They're behind you and in front of you. They're the hands that should be next to you. They're the hands with whom we agree and the hands of those with whom we disagree, the good hands with which we have been entrusted to reach out and to share the love of Christ, or the hands of the church. They're hands that need to extend again to shake the hand of another, hands that need to prepare meals for our community partners again, hands that squeeze tightly during final moments of life, hands that pick up the phone and call someone with whom he or she is estranged. The hands that have been entrusted with a mission are hands that open the hymnal for a child and teach her to follow along, or hands that color a children's bulletin because the preacher just talks entirely too long on Sundays. The hands into which the mission of Christ have been entrusted are our hands. And it's time to get to work. It's time to get to work using our collective hands to bring healing to our own Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, wherever you find yourself. So for what are we waiting? Jesus gave us one job. Gaze up for a little bit, but then bring heaven down to earth. We have one job. It's all hands on deck. To the glory of God. Amen.